Praise the name of our Lord. Amen. How such a blessing to be with you today. For many years, Dr. David and Dr. Lucilius told us about Maranatha Camp. So I had a great hope to come to here and attend the camp. Praise the Lord for this chance for me to come and meet every one of you. But at the same time, I'm sorry for that Dr. Lucilius not with us, but I miss him, and we are in Egypt, we miss him also, but we are praying for him. May God touch him by his power. Amen?
Amen.
I'm 53 years old. I have three sons. The oldest one is Martin, 22 years old, in the final year in the university, computer science. The youngest one, David, or as we mentioned him, little Dr. David. David is 14 years old. I grew up in traditional Orthodox Coptic Church. My family are Coptic Church, but God saved me, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 14 years old in Methodist Church. After that, couple years, I became Baptist, and God called me to be preacher and pastor in 1998. I pastored two churches before, and I am pastor now for the third church. And God gave me to be full-time for many years as a teacher in our school, Middle East Baptist Seminary. Yesterday, I think the video voice was not clear, so I put my laptop in the first pew, and after we finish, if anyone wanted to see it again, we can do that. I appreciate your prayer for our ministry in Egypt. Let me say something about the importance of the ministry in Africa, Egypt, and now South Africa, South Sudan. Every time we travel to South Sudan three times every year. After we finish our school in Cairo with Dr. David, we go first to Juba. In the last trip, when I came back to home, in the airplane, Sudanese young man sat down beside me and start to open his Bible. I was so glad. So I started to discuss with him. And I asked him about his ministry. What is your ministry? He said, I am apostle. I said, what do you mean you are apostle? Do you mean you are a messenger from God to any new area? No, I am apostle. Do you mean you are a missionary? God sent you in mission trip anywhere? No, I am apostle. What do you mean you are apostle? According to Ephesians 2, I am apostle. I am the foundation of the church. The local church depend on me. I am the apostle, and we have many prophets at the church. As you see, Africa, every time I say Africa, is the basket of all the cults and the false teaching. Any cults, Jehovah Witness, Jesus Only, Adventist, any cults directly into Africa, and my brother maybe know that more than me also. So God burdened our heart to present the word of God, the pure word of God, to our brothers, our brethren in Africa. So God led us to start in South Sudan without any support from anywhere, just by faith. And we travel three times. We have around eight students there in the undergraduate and graduate degree. And God also burdened us to start English center for our school in Kenya to present the word of God for English speaker speaking in Africa by God's grace. So we need your prayer for new door. Maybe God open this door. We are waiting that Kenya opens the door without any demands like PCR or vaccination to can Dr. David go with us there. So we need your prayer because Africa needs the word of God, needs the sound doctrines from the Bible. Amen. Amen. I would like to share with you what God burdened my heart to talk with you. Let us read from Ephesians chapter 5, the epistle of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And let us read from verse 1 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as it becomes saints, neither falseness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them, for we were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. Verse 14, definitely. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor your name in this great morning. We honor your blood which shed it for us, for our salvation. We redeemed us not with the silver or golden, but with your precious blood. We grateful for your love and your redemption for us. Thank you for Jesus, for every time you are our Lord. You are also our shepherd who feed us. We pray now, I and my brethren, to you, our Redeemer, to feed us. You are our shepherd. You know our needs, the spiritual needs. So we are waiting only you. We put our trust only you. So please, God, send your word to our hearts to change us, change our mind, change our deeds, change our works, our families, our churches, our nations. Please, God, I and my brethren, we are ready to receive your word. And by God's grace, your grace, and by Holy Ghost, we will walk according the word of the Spirit to us in this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray to the Father. Amen. 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 My definitely verse is verse 14, wherefore he says, awoke thou that sleepest, and raise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let me first remind you a background about the epistle of Ephesians. You know that Paul wrote two epistles, Ephesians and Colossians, and we say that the two epistles are twins because both talk about the relationship between the church, the body of Christ, and the Christ, the head of the church. So in Ephesians, Paul talks about the church, the body of Christ. And according to the plan of Paul in every epistle, the apostle Paul, every time I remind my students that he is apostle Paul, not ordinary man or preacher, any preacher, but he is apostle. It means what he wrote, it is by inspiration of God. This is the word of God, not the word of Paul as a man. So, as a plan of Paul in almost of his epistle, he started with doctrines. He taught about the doctrines, the sound doctrines. Chapter 1, 2, 3, what is the church, the body of Christ, what Christ did for the church. And after that, he began to start what we say, practical section. And this is very important to the Apostle Paul and the Holy Ghost, that how we can live what we believe. How we can live our doctrines. If we believe in God as sound doctrines, we need to walk according the sound doctrines, according the word of God. Because faith without works, according James, what did? So we need, besides the faith, fruit of the faith, works. We didn't say by works, but the works are the fruits of our salvation by grace and faith. So Paul started in Ephesians to talk to the Ephesus, so the church of Ephesus, about how they apply the sound doctrines. So what is the situation in Ephesus? Ephesus, it is a big city, very rich city, and heathen city. So, as we know, that the city has one of the biggest heathen temples in Minor Asia. It is the temple of Diana, the goddess of Ephesus. So, around the believers of Ephesus, around the church, many sins, like a fornication, immorality, because part of the worship in the temple of Diana was fornication. So some true believers of the church of Ephesus start to involve in some old sins, their old sins, again. We have two views about this passage. The first view says that this passage, 1 to 14, chapter 5, talks about the sinners. The sinners are darkness and need the Christ light. The second view say no, this passage deal with the believers. And I support the second view. I don't know if you agree with me or not. for two reasons. The first reason, the sinner is dead, and the dead has no need to light. He need to life, the life of Jesus. The second thing, that Paul here talks to the believers of Ephesus, not to the sinner. So I support the next view that this word is, that passage is for the believers. So Paul here make classification, three classes of men. The first is the dead men, the sinners. The second is the true believers, but as he said, in verse 14, wake those that sleepest and arise from the dead. He true believer, but he's sleeping. He's sleeping among deaths. The third, the true believers, the living believers who living among live among living believers. This is the three classes which Paul said about the men here. So my message title this morning about the tomb dwellers. You know tomb dwellers in Egypt, because we have many people homeless and the poverty. Some people take their family and go to tombs, cemetery, graves, and live there. They have no home, so they stay in the tombs. And the tombs in Egypt doesn't like your tombs. Your tombs here is very nice. It is as a garden. I visited last 2 days with Dr. David, one tomb in, I think, in Virginia or something, Tennessee. It is like a garden, very, very nice. And it is among the city. But the tombs or cemetery in Egypt, it is an isolated area and very dangerous area. Many thieves hide inside it. And no power, no water, no nothing. So some poor people, homeless, go to the cemetery, the tomb, and dwell there with their family. So you can, when you visit these tombs, you can find the kitchen, the woman cook their meals, and the kids play football, all of their life among the tombs. They are living people. They are not dead. Mm-hmm. They are living people. But they live among the deads, among the tombs. And I think Paul saw something like that in Roman Empire during his mission trip. In some poor villages, he noticed that some poor people went to the cemetery and the tombs to live there. And when Paul know that some believers of Ephesus start go back to their old sins, the Holy Ghost lead him to remember the picture of the tomb dwellers. So he start to talk about that. So God will lead us in this to talk about the three classes or classification which Paul presented in these 14 verses. But let me, when I teach in the school my students about salvation or soteriology, from the election to saving grace for effective calling, I use every time this illustration about Lazarus. Lazarus in John chapter 11. When Lazarus died and Jesus went before his tomb and said to him, he raised up him and called him to go out the tomb. Let me first lead you in imagination, imagine that with me. Martha and Mary or Miriam, Lazarus, family are very, very so glad that Jesus called Lazarus from death. And Lazarus became living man again. The life started to enter in every organ in his body and give him new life. He is now is life. He living man. But at night, imagine with me, sorry for that, but I like imagination. During midnight, Martha and Mary observed that Lazarus woke up from his bed and went to the door and of home door and opened the door and walked. And they follow him to see where he will go the night, tonight. He goes to the tombs, to his tomb, his grave, and without any control from himself, he slept there in the darkness. This is first day. Martha and Mary maybe said it is the infallibleness of the death, but he is now, he will be okay after 1 day, 2 days. But the next day, the same Lazarus dead. He went to his tomb and slept inside it. And what Martha and Mary did? They took a lamp, torch, and light all the area and start wake up Lazarus. Lazarus, what you do? What you do? Why you are here? You are now living man. You got a life from Christ. Why you are come again to your tomb? This is, I think, what Paul wanted to say to the people of believers in Ephesus and wanted to say to us in this morning by God's grace. Let me start with the first class or first kind of people, the deads. The deads. Paul said about the sinners, and we were among them, we were as a sinners, say that we were dead. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, yes. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. We don't forget that, please. Because after we become believers and become pastors and leaders, sometimes we forget that we were sinners and despise the sinners. It is a bad man. No, I can't make any relationship. Jesus talked to Samaritan woman. Because the sinners need Christ. So in verse 5, he says that even when we were dead in sins, we were dead. The sinners are dead. The sinners are dead. Do you remember what Martha said to Jesus when he asked the people to draw the stone from the grave or tomb? Lord, by this time he stinketh. Stinketh. My brethren, we were sinners, yeah. And our smelling was stinketh. The sinner, what flow from their mouth? What flow from their works? It is rotten, dirty things. The only thing, only two things we can find in the grave, two things. The worms and the rotten stinks. So they ask, no, we can't, Lord, by this time. He became inside the grave for 4 days. We can't. Do you remember our past? Maybe I accepted Jesus when I was young, man. It is just 14 minutes, and my family was a very good family. I was polite. Boy, but I know that I am sinner. Yes. I know that. I recognize that, and I need Jesus. But some of us spend many times without Jesus, far from Jesus. I don't know what is about every one of you, but I sure is some of us spend maybe 20 years, 30 years from his age, far from Jesus, without Jesus. So sometimes even the influence of our past, our sins, still has influence in our body, in our lungs, chest. Some believers has some problem because their past. Because the sinners are dead. Even we had some good works, but even the good works didn't acceptable before God. Why? Because it's flow from dirty cup. If you invite me to come and visit you at home, and you say to me, I will bring to you the very, very worse drink, very, very expensive drink, and you put it inside dirty cup, can I drink it? No. So God, maybe when we were sinners, we did some good works, praying, fasting, attend the churches, but God couldn't to accept that because it is inside the not the temple of God, but the side dirty cup. The sinners are dead. This is our past. We can read that clearly in Romans chapter 1 from verse 18, when Paul mentioned how the unbelievers, the sinners, refuse God and make some issues, some deeds. It is very bad for God and for us also. Paul talked about the homosexuality from 2,000 years. Not now, it is not new. It is from 2,000 years. Paul said that in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. But what happened for us? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. What happened in Ephesians chapter 2, verse, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you has he quickened. And verse 5, has quickened us together with Christ. So the sinners don't need light, but they need life of Christ as Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth out your grave. And we know and believe that Jesus gave the life to Lazarus before Lazarus could to walk.
That's right.
Out of the tomb. We got a life from God. Praise the Lord. I am alive.
Amen.
I'm living, man.
Yeah.
I'm not dead now. I am alive, man. I and you, praise God. But let me move to the second class or second kind Paul wrote about it in verse 14. And this is the important point. Wherefore, he says, awoke thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Some commentaries said that this verse, it is a part of the hymn from the first Christian century. The believers in the first century were sang this hymn. Wherefore, he says, awoke thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. They enjoyed. So Paul wrote this hymn to explain what happened from some believers in Ephesus, Some believers, after they converted, after they accepted Jesus, and they are real believers, they start to go back again to their old manner. In 2 Kings chapter 17, two times, talks about the people of Israel that they did after their former manner. This is the problem. They are the people of God. They are the people of covenant. But they, many times, did after their former manner. And this is what sometimes we do. And some believers do that. So, Paul here say, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Why, Lazarus, you come back to your tomb and the grave and sleepest among the dead? Why? It's a shameful thing. And sure, it is a difficult thing for the real believer. I think you will agree with me that the sin, we enjoy with sin. You agree with me? Sometimes sin, we enjoy it. But after we enjoy it, what will happen? The Holy Ghost, who dwells inside our life, our heart, will reprove us. So it will be difficult life. The true believer, when he back to his tomb, his grave, he suffer himself. He suffer. Do you remember someone in the book of Genesis suffered because he lived among the dead? Lot. Abraham. He went to Sodom and Gomorrah and lived there because he found the land the same like Egypt. He went out from Egypt, but Egypt didn't went out from his heart. Sometimes God delivered us from the world, but still the world inside our heart. Do you remember the people of Israel when they went went out of Egypt, and God delivered them through Moses. After several days, oh, Moses, we remember the Egyptian food. We remember the garlic in Egypt. We remember when you come to Egypt, you couldn't to forget that, the food of Egypt. Yeah, we remember they went out of Egypt, but Egypt didn't go out of their hearts. This is the problem of us for many times. Do you remember the man with the unclean spirit in Mark 5, verse 1? Legion. He possessed by unclean spirits. He lived in the tombs. If we found anyone living among the tombs, we will say to him, you are crazy. Yes, that's right. You are madman. Yes, that's right. The believer who go back to his tomb, he is crazy. And he suffered himself and suffered his family and suffered even his church. We have a problem in Egypt, in our church. Some believers want to do what he wants. Any sin. And after that, he says, I'm a true believer. I will go to heaven. I am leader inside the church. But please, I'm just kernel believer. What's kernel believer? Yeah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we have a spiritual man and natural man, and among them, kernel man. I am a kernel believer, so I can do anything I want. So he can make a troubles inside the church. He can make some sense. And when the church try to reprove him or discipline him, he says, I am just kernel believer. Paul didn't say that.
No, he
didn't. No. He refused that. He denied that in the chapter 3. He said to the people, the believer of Corinthians, that I couldn't talk with you as a spiritual. Because you go back to your old manners. I found many problems inside the church. Do you remember the brother of the church of Corinthians, chapter 5, who commit fornication. What happened from the church? Nothing. What did the church? Nothing. He come every Sunday to attend the church. He maybe he is a leader inside the church, and the church did nothing. And what he did? He go back, he went back to his old sins in simple way. And the church couldn't to reprove him. Why? Because it is weak church. Because the strong church couldn't to accept something like that among the believers. It should reprove and discipline this believer. And so, after Paul sent his message or letter or epistle, they started to discipline him and restore him again. If the church love their church member, will discipline anyone commit any sin or back to his old manner. Some preacher said that, and I hear it from him. Said some believers, after they accepted Jesus, they throw out their sins on the creek. But they connected with rope. And after several days or several years, he wants to enjoy with his old sin. What he say? Make. He throw the rope. Rule. Pull the rope. Pull the rope. And enjoy with his old sin. And after that, throw out his sin again into the creek. It is not acceptable to God. That every time we pull our old manner, old sinners, which God, which Jesus washed us from it and cleaned us from it to enjoy, and after that we throw it out of the sea. My brethren, we need this message, is exhortation to every one of us. Paul wanted to exhort the believers in Ephesus and exhort us now for what? Please, awoke those that sleepest and arise from the dead. The believer who go back to his tomb and the grave and sleepest needs Christ light. Not Christ life. He is alive. He is living man. But he needs his light. And the Christ night light is the word of God. The word of God. If you want to restore any believer, sleepest among the dead, you need to present to him the Christ light, the word of God. Let me say, it is exhortation for every one of us. Please, God says to you, don't back to your old manner. Don't back and sleep among the dead. But also, it is exhortation for us as a preacher. We need new missions to the believers who believe in homosexuality. We can say, no, they are not believers. I will not deal with them. I will not accept them in my home or any relation with them. Yes, we can do that. But I talk about the real believer who slept among the dead. He needs someone to give him a light and wake up from his sleeping among the dead. He needs that. I know American missionary live in Germany. His brother was a missionary in Yemen, Arabian Yemen, and killed there for Christ. But what is this missionary in Germany mission? His mission among the harlots, the gang is there in Germany, bring some young girls from Africa and from China, from Ukraine, to work as harlots. We can say they are bad girls, go to hell. But God gave him a passion, he and his family, his wife and children there with him. And he start establish a mission among them to restore them. Amen. Restore them. Sometimes we need to restore our brethren who went back to their tombs and slept among the dead. It is difficult. I know it is not for every one of us. For me, it is difficult. For me. But the Holy Ghost wanted maybe us to notice that we have another different needs. Maybe among the drunk, maybe some of true believers involved in drugs for some times. I need to walk up. If I love him, I need to walk up him. because he needs the light of Christ. But let me finish with the last class, the first class of the people, the dead. The second class, which Paul talk about in the verse 14, the believers, the true believers, the living believers who went back to their tomb and sleepest among the dead. They need Christ's light. But let me finish with the last one. Last class is the living believers who live among the living believers. This is a very, very good, which Paul said in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2:15, about the spiritual man. The natural man couldn't to understand anything about God, about the spiritual issues, but the spiritual man, he can understand that. And we need spiritual believers to try to help the believers who slept among the dead and woke up them, maybe in our families, maybe in our neighbors. Maybe we need to do that. The Holy Ghost is a spiritual man or spiritual believer has the Holy Ghost fruit inside him. Love, joy, peace. The world needs to notice the fruit of Holy Ghost inside us. As Galatians 5:16 said about the spiritual, the believer who living according the word of God, according the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. God wants us as a believer to walk in the Spirit. In verse 18, led of the Spirit. So we need to filled with the Holy Ghost. Please, God, fill our individual life to can lead our family, our churches into you. What is the need of the spiritual man or the living believer who live among the living believers, among the church? He is a good leader, a good preacher, a good servant of God. We need more and more filling with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We know that filling with the Holy Ghost, not according to the charismatic movement, say we need more and more part of the Holy. No, we need to give the Holy Ghost more and more space to control in our life, to have authority in our life, to lead every aspect in our life. When we fill with the Holy Ghost, we can go as I said about Martha and Mary, to woke up our brethren. Maybe now the Holy Ghost remind you, someone attend our churches for several years, and maybe he truly a believer and start the ministry, but the world bullied him. We need to restore him again. Let us pray, please. Let us pray. We need the Holy Ghost convince us. We need the Holy Ghost touch our hearts by this message. This is what God wanted me to say, not only to you, but for me also. We need to wake up from sleeping among the dead. We need revival, yes. Our Lord, I come now, I and my brethren, and beg you to forgive us our sins. Forgive us every time we go back to our past sin, to our manner, old manner. Forgive us every time we live weak in weakness and shorting in your ministry. Open our eyes, please, God, to look forward to any real believer sleeping now among the dead. And let give us grace for you, from you, to help them, to support them, to restore them to your bosom. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.